Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Patience. Patience is waiting, but not just any kind of waiting. Waiting without grumbling. Waiting without complaining. In the registrar's office, perhaps you've seen that little plaque that's on the bulletin board on the side there. Thou shalt not whine. Patience is not complaining, not grumbling, even though something is taking longer than you think it should. Patience is also waiting without giving up. No matter how long something is taking, no matter how bleak the situation looks, patience doesn't give up hope. Patience is waiting without grumbling, without giving up. Patience is hard to do. You're waiting in a checkout line. You pick the one, it seems shorter, and then you get there and the other one's moving faster. And the person right before you, a price check. Now that's a test of patience. You got the internet and you're waiting for something to download. And you know there's that little green squares that one as it's downloading. And you get to the last one and it's all green. And nothing happens. That's a test of patience. I wonder how patient people are going to be when Highway 40 and 64 closes down. Or for those of you who have kids, it's been a long day and your nerves are frayed. That's a test of patience. It's hard to be patient, to wait without complaining, without giving up. But for us in the church, there is a deeper difficulty in patience because we're waiting for the Lord's coming. We're waiting for God to fully and finally bring His promise to fruition. That Jesus will return, and on that last day, justice will be done. Things will be set right, evil and sin done away with. Bodies will rise from the grave, be reunited with souls for an eternity of joy and celebration. We're waiting patiently for the coming of the Lord. But it's been a long time. A long time. And you begin to complain. How long? Or you begin to give up. Take that ancient prophecy from Isaiah. Mighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, and everlasting Father. Mighty God, He rules, He's in charge. But then a gunman walks into a ministry center in Colorado or a church and starts shooting. And that shooter is taken out by an armed security guard in a church. Now, the shooting was one thing, but an armed guard in the church? What's wrong with this picture? Mighty God, how long, O Lord? And you want to give up. Or wonderful counselor, a counselor is supposed to make you feel good, supposed to help you deal with those problems. But you know, worries over the money, tears at a cemetery, struggles paying the bills, relationships broken, pills needed to get through the day or to sleep through the night. How long, O Lord, before you're the wonderful counselor? Fully, completely. Prince of Peace, oh, we crave for peace. No more war, no more bloodshed, no more crime. And yet, tell that to the parent who has a son or a daughter over in Iraq. Or the family that welcomes home a casket instead of wide open arms and greetings in an airport. Or when we see criminals on the streets instead of in jail. How long we complain? How long do we need to wait? Everlasting Father, a Father cares, a Father protects, a Father never turns His back. But so often He seems so far away. Or we wonder for even a child, or what seems everlasting is a grave and a cemetery rather than God. How long, O Lord? It's easy to complain. It's easy to give up. Patience, waiting, is difficult. But James ends this reading by focusing our attention once more on God, and he uses the words merciful and compassion. Put them together. If you want patience, you need mercy and compassion. Because when you've got mercy and compassion, you have patience. Up to this point, I've only mentioned about what patience is not. It's not grumbling. It's not giving up. But patience is mercy and compassion. Peter writes, God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some count slowness. He is patient, not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's patience is his mercy and not wanting any to be lost. God's compassion is patience as he wants more and more to call him everlasting Father. You want patience, you look at a manger in Bethlehem. For hundreds of years, the prophecies have been there, and God patiently waits until just the right time for Jesus to be born. And it's a birth of mercy and compassion. Jesus is born not to complain about us, but to call us back. Not to lash out at our sin and doubt and complaints, but to focus us on God's mercy and compassion. Jesus is born not to give up on us, but to give us God's love. And when Jesus grows up, that mercy takes him right to the cross. God patiently watches as his son dies for you and for me. And then he patiently waits 3 days to bring him out of the grave. And in that resurrection, we see that Isaiah prophecy, a glimpse of it, come true. Mighty God, in that resurrection, sin and evil are dealt with. They have no power over Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, he gives us a hope and a joy and a peace that reaches deep into our soul. Prince of Peace, peace with God and with us and even with each other. An everlasting Father, he's risen, and so will we for an eternity with the Father in heaven. You want patience? God's mercy and compassion. God's mercy and passion leads to patience in our lives, too. Because you see, if you want patience, you need mercy and compassion. Not this weekend, but the weekend before, my wife and I went to see A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, a portrayal of it. You know the story. Ebenezer Scrooge is Bah Humbug approach. He loves money. He's mean and vicious. He treats his clerk, Bob Cratchit, like dirt. He laughs at people who give money to the poor. And then one night, everything changes. Ghost of Christmas Past shows him the joy he once had at Christmas. A Christmas Present shows him the joy in the Cratchit household despite their poverty and Tiny Tim's illness. Christmas in the future, where people are happy that he's dead, and the empty chair where Tiny Tim would sit. And overnight he changes. And the next morning, you see the change in mercy and compassion. Not in great big huge ways, but in little ways. He buys a prize goose for the Cratchit family. He shouts a Merry Christmas. He has a warm smile. He gives a generous tip. He forgives a debt. Mercy and compassion and patience go together. Because you see, most of the time our patience is tested in the little everyday ways of life. And so you are waiting in line. It's taken a long time. The people in front of you are mean and angry. And you arrive at the clerk. A smile on your face. A word of thanks, or maybe even of blessing. And that little bit of compassion changes anger into patience. Or you are out with your kids during a day, and one of them wants to stop and look at a toy again, or to tell you something. And that little bit of kindness says, look at the toy. Stop and listen. Or to walk with the child at the child's speed. Not your steps. And what happens then is really quite amazing. That little bit of kindness and compassion changes irritation into patience. Or you get the letters, or somebody asks you for money. It's a charity, an organization. They want to do something good for the poor and the needy. But you take a look at your checkbook. You see the bills that have to be paid, the presents that have to be bought. And the wastebasket is mighty handy. But mercy has you write out a check or buy a toy for a tot, put some coins in a red kettle, leave a generous tip. And something happens. That mercy changes anxiety and worry into patience. If you want patience, look for mercy and compassion. Because where there's mercy and compassion, there's patience. Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Amen.